This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Lena Raine, and it's just so much fun to have a chance to catch up with you.
Yeah, it's been a little bit since we last talked, but a whole lot's been going on.
Yeah, I know. You've been really busy, which is fantastic. And what we're going to dive into today is your soundtrack for Chicory, which it wasn't on my radar screen, but all of a sudden, I think it was a tweet that you sent or maybe from the developer. And it's just such a surprising, wonderful game. And so I'm really looking forward to talking to you about it.
Yeah.
The story of the game is, it's fairly simple on the surface. It's a simple looking game. The Picnic Province, where everything happens, has suddenly been just turned into black and white. And the person whose job it is to make the world colorful, the wielder, Chicory, is missing. And so her cleaning person goes on a quest with her brush to paint the world and look for her. And I would love to know how they roped you in, how the developer roped you in to do the music for this.
Luckily enough, the group of indie developers up in Vancouver, BC, they are all, you know, kind of good friends. And so when I was working on Celeste with the team at EXOK Games, Greg, who's sort of the main creator on Chicory, he was finishing up his previous game, Wandersong. And so he was literally just there, like hanging out basically in the same apartment as all of us, just, you know, work on his laptop, working on finishing his game. And so I got to see his creative process and kind of saw the finishing touches being put on Wandersong when that game was wrapping up. And so he released his game a little bit, you know, later in the year after we had released Celeste. And he's the kind of guy that just kind of goes straight onto like the next creative thing. Like he gets an idea and just runs after it. So he immediately after shipping Wandersong just had this idea of like, what if, because Wandersong was all about singing. And so he was like, well, what if I make a game about drawing, you know? And so he started prototyping things, and he messaged me one day, I think in like early 2019, basically just like, hey, so I made this prototype, and it was literally like this little like placeholder pixel art dog in a blank room, and you could just paint.
Wow.
And that was it. It was, you know, just like this empty room, and, you know, it was like paint dog or draw dog, or it's kind of like, you know, names that he was throwing around. And so like there was no real concept for the story. There was nothing, you know, that had really solidified for where it was going, but he really wanted to get me involved in it from the get-go. And so he sent me that and was like, you know, are you interested in doing the music for something that involves this painting dog? And I was like, yeah, no, absolutely. Because, you know, that's similar to how I got, you know, roped into to doing Celeste. Was like, you know, here's this platforming game about climbing up a mountain. And it was like, had no idea, you know, what the rest of everything was going to involve, but the concept was fun enough that I was just like, okay, yeah, no, I trust the people making this to come up with something interesting. Let's just go. Let's just do it.
Wow. So with those early conversations, what did you guys talk about, or what did Greg suggest that he was thinking about for how the music should sound?
He had a whole playlist on Spotify, actually, of like a lot of inspirations of things that he was playing or you know, shows that he had watched that had some music that really resonated with him. One of the games that was sort of out and really influential at the time was A Short Hike, which is a really wonderful like mobile game that eventually came to Switch. That had, you know, kind of some tonal similarities. It's just like really wonderful, peaceful kind of vibes with some little synths in there. and, you know, kind of had some similar themes to Celeste of climbing up a mountain in a way. So there is that. There is like the Samorost soundtracks, which are, you know, really fantastic, just wildly creative soundtracks. And yeah, just kind of, he even had some of my stuff from my solo album, One Knowing, on there. So it was kind of this collection of vibes, just kind of really kind of chill, acoustic instrument-y kind of vibes. You know, he told me that he kind of came into it with expectations that maybe I would just do something kind of like Celeste, where it was like a lot of synths, a lot of kind of, you know, lower fidelity, you know, sounds to it. But I was also, you know, just coming off of Celeste, and then also kind of starting to work on the DLC for Celeste, which had some more like acoustic instrument influences there. And so I was like, well, why not take this in a, you know, way more just acoustic instrument focused sound for the main part of the game. So I really wanted to experiment with older instruments like Baroque instruments, harpsichord, you know, recorders, cornet, you know, the kind of like really close mic'd chamber sounds, and really sort of taking those and spinning them in a more modern direction. And that was kind of like, that was my influence, where I was just like, what if I did this? And then I wrote what ended up becoming Supper Woods. And that was the very first track that I wrote for the game, as kind of like a mission statement to Greg of like, this is the kind of vibe that I'm going for. And so I sent that to him, and he was like, oh, wow, yeah, this is really cool. And like, just kind of encouraged me to keep going.
that sound totally works. It almost sounds like a little Renaissance band. And
yeah.
What I love about it is it fits so well with the, you know, kind of the handcrafted world of the game, because the graphics are really simple and the way you can paint is kind of freewheeling, but you wouldn't want a huge orchestral soundtrack because that would just totally overwhelm the game.
Yeah, really distracting.
yeah, for sure. And it just wouldn't fit the scale. So I think the instrumentation that you settled on just works really, really well.
Thank you.
Well, let's give a shout out to all these amazing musicians, because you put together a merry band, you know, to kind of keep that metaphor going. You worked with Kristen Negus for her just incredible, zoo of wind instruments.
Yeah, she really has just like anything you could name that is a wind instrument in some way, shape, or form. And it was really fun to just kind of like know what the variety was, and just like kind of go searching through her bag of flutes essentially, and being like, oh, this one would be perfect for this area, and kind of challenging myself to write for more than just your usual stable of orchestral winds.
Yeah, I remember talking with her, I don't know, a few years ago, and she was weighing whether or not to buy a better quality bassoon, and I guess she did, because you were able to use that too. So
yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, it's just the whole you know, the interweaving of the voices of her flutes and the recorders and everything. I mean, it sounds like many musicians all playing together, and I guess that's just a credit to your writing and also how she was able to, you know, kind of multi-track and overlay things so that it sounds like a live ensemble.
Yeah, it was a real solid collaboration. Like, we're good friends, and so, you know, we have a good rapport, I think, that lets us kind of play off of each other, and handing over these parts and kind of, you know, showing her, you know, the kind of vibe that I was going for. Like, she really got in tune with the vibe of the game. You know, she immediately played it after it came out and was just like super into it. And so, you know, I think she really got these characters and got the energy that all of the scenes in the game have.
Yeah, and the string players that you lined up too, Michaela Nachtigall for violin and viola, and Sung Ha Hong for cello.
Yeah,
they add so much. Their voices too.
Yeah, it's you know, there's a lot of woodwinds, but then there's also like the string section really came together. And with, you know, Michaela doing three strings, you know, of a quartet, you know, she does multiple violins and then also viola and then Sung Ha with the cello. I worked with them initially on the Celeste DLC. And it was really great to kind of get back into my string writing roots a little bit, because I did a lot more of that when I was younger and was in college and all of that. And so it was really great to reconnect with that and start experimenting with the kinds of music I could do when I could rely on having there be live string players. And so I really got to feel a little bit more comfortable when I was going into Chicory of just writing some really wonderful lines for them to play. And I think they made a really, really lovely ensemble, especially for some of the pieces that have more of that kind of string quartet feel to them. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. It's like you really push them and push their sound. And again, you know, it sounds like if a string quartet was playing it on the stage, there it would be. But
yeah.
I know that they, you know, none of them were in the same place at the same time. So, you know, what was it like to like wrangle them to make them get that sound?
Well, I think the really positive thing of working with musicians that I've found, you know, through the internet, through the community of the video game arrangement and remix community, all of them have this wonderful home setup or are able to find home setups that they can record and get just amazing sounds without having to go into a huge studio. And you know, I kind of cheek on the credits for the soundtrack, I kind of cheekily put like recorded at everyone's home studio. But you know, I really think that was a credit to the kind of intimacy that we were able to get with the recordings. And it was, you know, it was not a big studio space. It was not, you know, Air London or whatever it is, you know, like we're keeping it, you know, really close and, you know, close mic'd, close atmospheres. And then I, you know, added reverb when I needed to, but I really wanted to make sure that those close mic intimate sounds were really there, and like all of like the mechanics of it, of, you know, the breaths and, you know, the strings, the bow hitting the strings, all of those sounds, I really wanted to make sure that those stayed there, that I didn't like EQ them out, because it was so important to me to really get that feeling of the tactile nature of playing music. And so, you know, one of the fun stories too is that for Sungha's parts on the cello, she had just moved to Seattle. Like, she works at ArenaNet now, which is where I actually used to work as when I was working in game design. But she started a full-time job there as a sound designer, which is fantastic. But she had just moved and still needed to record some additional parts for Chicory. And so she actually had to like borrow some mics from Carlos, who's the saxophone player on Dinners, which is one of the tracks, and he lives in the area as well. So she borrowed mics from him and then set up her own recording area in like a walk-in closet in her new apartment after she had gotten all set up. And so it was like this wild collaborative effort between the musicians that knew each other to get everything recorded and sounding good. And so it was like this sort of wild slapdash effort, but you know, we were able to make it work and sound really great.
Yeah, it does. And I love that you kept all of, you know, the sounds that happen when you're playing an instrument. And I can really hear that in the guitar too, the live guitar that Sternage played. You can hear his fingers on the strings. And
oh yeah.
So yeah.
This was actually my first project working with him directly as an instrumentalist. We'd done some collaboration stuff on like side projects, but this was the first time that he had come on to one of my projects doing guitar. But he's going to be doing some more guitar for future soundtracks that I'm working on. So,
oh, that's cool. And the drums really add a lot too. I mean, marimba, it's an unusual instrument, and it's not something that turns up a lot, although it's turning up more and more because it has such a unique sound. And yeah. So you tapped Kevin Ragone for that, which was really great.
So I just wanted to correct a little bit. Kevin did just kit drum a couple of tracks for Dinners and for the end credits. And then for marimba, that was actually me playing fake marimba, essentially.
but it was
a really, really good sample library there.
And then
there was a couple of tracks also that I credit myself as playing fake drums on. Mm-hmm. Because I have an electronic drum kit here. And I'm not very good at playing live drums or anything, but I do, you know, I can multi-track. So I credit myself as fake drums. But, you know, playing, you know, I'll play the hi-hat, or I'll play the kick and the snare, and then I'll just kind of mush them together and find some good sounds, sampled drums to apply to those. So.
Wow.
But all with the ethos of getting it to sound live, even if it's a sample library, like getting them all to blend together so it really gets that intimate sound together.
Yeah, for sure. It must have been, I don't know, kind of fun in a way to have so much time to work on this soundtrack, because it must have given you time to kind of kick ideas around and really sort of solidify how you and Greg wanted things to sound.
Yeah, it was definitely a long haul. Where we started the game, we started working on the game, in 2019, and the world was a very different place then. And I actually spent a good portion of 2019 in Japan, because I was living there with my now wife. And she was there for a full year, and I was there for, as long as I could be on traveler's visa. And so I was able to live there in Osaka and like work on my laptop basically, and sort of composing things just, while I was there, and then coming back to the studio, back here in Seattle where I live now, and really kind of being able to kind of be all over the place, in the world during 2019, and wrote the first one third, I would say, of the soundtrack during that year, and then 2020 with COVID-19 and quarantine and everything, like we holed up here in Seattle, and then I wrote basically the last two thirds of the soundtrack while quarantined here, so it was a very interesting, diverse experience of being able to write while I'm able to travel, and then having to finish everything up while I can't really leave the apartment. So,
Yeah. Was can you hear where the split is from what you wrote in Japan and then what you wrote when you got back to Seattle?
I don't think so. Like I it's because everything eventually kind of goes through that layer of recording and all that stuff. There's definitely some more like emotional tracks that happened when everything was a bit more difficult and hard to break out from when quarantined. But I think I was able to kind of blend the two writing locations
Yeah.
together, as far as my brain being able to churn out music into my software and write it down.
Wow. Well, altogether, the soundtrack is just so generous. There's like 2.5 hours of
That's
music
a
on there.
lot of
It
music,
is a lot
yeah.
of music. How much music did you end up writing for the game? Because the game isn't all that long, but I'm just
Yeah,
curious.
it's just if you're kind of playing through it straight, it's about a little under 10 hours, and if you 100% it's 20 something hours. But yeah, it's pretty much everything that's there is what you get in the game. There's only a couple little bonus things that are off the soundtrack, which I'm still planning on releasing in some form. There's also some like low key mixes of the background music for all the different areas, which is it's sort of own separate thing that adds to the playtime, but isn't like unique tracks. It's sort of different mixes of the existing music. But yeah, like everything, pretty much everything that I wrote is in the soundtrack in some form.
Wow. Well, there's a lot of music in the soundtrack. In fact, as I've been playing it, I can't think of really too many moments where there isn't any music. So, it's your constant companion all the way through, which is great. So.
Thank you.
And as soon as I fired up the game, the thing that really struck me was it has a kind of a Zelda-esque quality to it. There's right in the beginning, there's a kind of an innocence and a sense that, yeah, you're going on out on an adventure, woefully under-equipped, but that'll solve itself probably. So I'm just curious if that crossed your mind at all, kind of that sort of sense of adventure, the innocent sense of adventure that the Zelda games have.
Yeah, I definitely think that it draws from a lot of things, and the Zelda inspirations are pretty huge for the exploration, for the kind of just overall like vibe of the game when you're just kind of out there and exploring. And it was definitely something that hit a nostalgic part of my growing up, because I definitely grew up with the Zelda series, and it's been a huge part of my life and my inspirations as a composer. So I was able to kind of tap into some of those tropes or traditions that those top-down Zelda games have had over the years, of like there's always some sort of like cool mysterious forest track, there's always, you know, item get jingles, there's always some sort of heroic theme in the mountains or whatever, you know, there's always a bunch of different kind of things that have been established, and other games have kind of picked up and run with those traditions. And so I really wanted to tap into those while also like subtly subverting them in my own way as we went through the game.
Where are some places where we could maybe hear that it's sort of a Zelda theme, but you've got your own spin on it?
Well, definitely. I think the closest analog you could find is the Appy Foothills, which is one of the first areas you go to in the game's second chapter. And that was a very direct inspiration from one of my favorite tracks from Link's Awakening, called Tall, Tall Heights. And it's one of my favorite things, where it takes the main theme of the game and then kind of starts to do interesting things with it, where it kind of changes up the melody, it changes up the harmonization of it. And that was one of the things that I really loved about Link's Awakening as a Zelda game, is it took those traditional Zelda themes and then started to spin them in new ways. And that's something I love to do in my music, is I love to establish a theme and then kind of reapproach it. Every time it comes back, it's slightly different. You know, you're kind of reevaluating your relationship with this melody as you hear it over and over again in the soundtrack.
Such a great theme that you settled on and that you created for this, because it does have a lot of possibilities. And so what was the process like to kind of get that nailed down? I mean, how do you know when you've got like just the right theme?
It's a lot of kind of thinking about it. It's a lot of, you know, kind of chewing on a melodic idea and, for me, it was really kind of getting inside the characters' heads in a bit. Once we had established like who these characters were and their relationship with each other, I knew that going into the game that the two main characters, you know, your main character, who we'll call Pizza, and the draw dog, and then Chicory, you know, the old wielder, those two characters kind of have this interesting relationship over the course of the game. One of, you know, someone looking up to someone that they revere, and the other person kind of dealing with that responsibility of having all of this influence and clout, essentially. And so I really wanted to have two contrasting themes that were basically from similar melodic material. So my goal when I wrote one of the intro pieces, there's a piece at the very beginning of the game where it kind of introduces the main Chicory theme in this sort of like very traditional, like recorder, Renaissance-y kind of vibe to the intro. I really wanted to be like, okay, here's sort of the mythical version of this theme, and then here's like the really fun, playful version of it that Draw Dog Pizza is sort of humming to themselves as they're like working. And so I really wanted to kind of get that sense that this character that looks up to Chicory is someone that reveres their thematic material and then it's kind of made up their own theme that kind of pulls from it. And so, you know, you have Chicory's theme, which is kind of this very kind of elegant, like da 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 da, you know, it's kind of sweeping melody like that. But then you have Pizza's version, which is da 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 da, kind of, you know, it has that really playful kind of like, oh yay, kind of adventure vibes to it. And, you know, was able to take those themes and then start, you know, intertwining them and developing them out, but really kind of starting from how do you treat that run up to a third and back, sort of, you know, kind of treating the motion of the melodies and the rhythm that they're presented in as kind of defining characteristics for the characters.
Thoughtful. And that's the thing that blows me away every single time I talk with a game composer, because you do put so much thought into helping flesh out these characters. And it must be such an interesting process to kind of, like you say, get inside their heads and give them music that's going to really make them come alive.
Yeah.
One of the things that is really just so fascinating about this game and really kind of elevates it is that it deals with some really weighty themes, and it, the player, Pizza, we'll call him or her, actually goes to some really dark places to deal with things like doubt and insecurity. And so the boss battles that there are in the game are the character kind of wrestling with all of these. And so how did you approach writing the music for these battles?
Well, there's definitely something where I knew that it was a big tonal shift for the game. It was something, especially when I saw sort of the prototype for the first boss encounter, where it's, the whole screen goes dark and there's just, creepy eyeballs everywhere. Like, I really knew that, okay, this is a chance to kind of take the music in a different direction for these moments where you're not really sure what's going on, and you really kind of have that shock of, like, what's going to happen the next time one of these boss battles comes up. It was definitely like, I see people's reactions to the first boss a lot, of like, oh, okay, I wasn't expecting that. People will kind of kind of get that initial reaction of like, oh, this is what the game is. Okay. And I had that opportunity to kind of bring out some old familiar tricks, I guess, of people that are familiar with my work on Celeste. Like, I had some similar, like, synth vibes that I played with there. But I think the thing that I was more interested in doing with these was to kind of use the analog of distortion and corruption to kind of, to create a alternate palette for the world that wasn't just the acoustic instrumental direction. So, one of the first couple of sounds that I was working with for that first boss battle was taking the, like, low piano note that kind of became the sort of thematic intro for all the different bosses, and then also taking the harpsichord and just kind of running it through a whole bunch of different, like, distortion pedals and amps and, just all of these different filters to kind of really make it menacing, this really beefy kind of sound that you would never hear an actual harpsichord play. It was, I really wanted to kind of embody that sense of unease with just that weird sort of corrupted harpsichord sound. so that sort of was the kickoff for coming up with all of the different escalating boss tracks. And then I dug myself into a little bit of a hole with the first one, where I made this huge epic sounding thing, and then, well, okay, we have to escalate from there. So it was kind of, you know, this balance of like, okay, how far do we take it each time? Or, you know, do we pull back? You know, do we kind of do something a little more intimate, a little bit more creepy in a different way? So with all of the different framing for the story that's happening with these encounters, I was able to kind of figure out the overall arc of where everything was going for those tracks.
Well, they're such a great fit with the tension in those boss battles. And again, you know, you walked such a really wonderful path with those, because clearly, you know, boss battle music from Dark Souls would not have worked at all. So
sure.
So they work really, really well. And the game takes players on a really kind of unexpectedly emotional journey. And one mm-hmm. of the things that, you know, they have to confront is imposter syndrome, and yeah. I've felt that, and I wonder if you have too.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's, I think of any of the characters that really resonates with me when they're going through those kind of those insecurities, you know, of do I really deserve to be able to do this? Like, that's me in a nutshell. especially in the sort of after Celeste was like a huge hit, and suddenly like a lot of people knew who I was. Like, I really had to wrestle with that concept of, you know, I'm making new stuff. Was this just a fluke? You know, was this thing that happened, like, you know, just because I got lucky? Like, you know, am I actually good enough to keep doing good music like this? I really did feel a lot of those things that I was kind of putting into those songs that kind of deal with those insecurities. And it's a tricky thing to wrestle with, and especially with all of us working on the game, I think we had a lot of approaches those topics from our own perspectives and in a lot of different ways, whether it's the visual aspects of it or the design or writing or, you know, music. I think there's a lot of commonalities to be found for all of us thinking about those things.
Yeah, it must be such a wonderful experience to be working on a really little team like that, where you can talk to anybody because the team's not that big. You don't have to go up a bunch of layers to get something approved or get any feedback. So it must have been, I would imagine, a really satisfying experience to work with this team.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things that really solidified why I'm doing this. You know, why I decided to go for a more, you know, independent approach, to work for myself, to be self-employed, to find these smaller teams that I really gelled with, is because we're able to tell these sorts of stories, that we're able to work really closely with each other and present what we feel is sort of this authentic story that we're telling. You know, I worked for many years in big AAA game industry, and you know, there's opportunities to tell personal stories there, but I think there's also that, just, you know, like you mentioned, like there's so many different layers to go through to kind of filter it out to eventually put it out there, and being able to have the freedom that working on Celeste and having that be a success afforded me, you know, to be able to just focus on those projects, I think that's a really good just validation for me of why I'm doing this, why I'm in the game industry and working on these sorts of projects.
Yeah, we've touched on, I think, some of the things, but I'm curious if there are other ways that writing this music really stretched you creatively, or if it allowed you the freedom to go in directions that you've always wanted to go.
Yes, exactly. That's a really big part of, especially the music that I wrote towards the end of the project, that is also sort of for the finale of the game. I have a lot of memories of when I was younger, when I was in like high school, even idolizing a lot of like JRPGs and, you know, these games that had just, you know, to me, the best music in the world. I was like, this is the music that resonates with me. This is the stuff that I aspire to write. And then kind of flashing forward to college and going through the music program there and no one really wanting me to write the kind of music that I wanted to actually write when I was in high school, you know, and then still being able to kind of find a voice through the stuff that I was able to write there, but then emerging into the industry and also realizing that the Western games industry didn't really want the kind of stuff that I wanted to write either. And kind of, you know, it was this weird kind of conflict where like I had really wanted to write this sort of like wild, you know, stylistically varied music when I was initially getting into writing music for myself, and then it had kind of gotten more and more filtered over time of like, this is the kind of music people expect you to write, this is the kind of music that people are going to hire you to write. And then once you've put something out there, like, okay, well, this is what you're known for, this is the Lena Raine sound, like this is what you're going to write now. And I really wanted to kind of push against that in some of the last things that I was writing. I was like, no, this is the stuff that I've wanted to write all along. And so the sort of big epic finale, like final boss fight, is sort of this really, really fun, just kind of explosion of all of this stuff that I'd just kind of been bottled up of, like, this is the kind of just cheesy, weird music that I love writing. And so I was really able to kind of go wild with that and put that out there.
Thank you.
component of that was getting to write a vocal theme for the end credits. And I'd not really gotten a chance to do a lot with songwriting in my games career to this point. And so it was just a really wonderful experience to be able to also do something like that for the credits.
Yeah. And so, and you wrote the lyrics too, obviously.
No, that was Greg. Greg Lomonoff wrote the lyrics for that. So it was a collaboration between us.
Yeah, because I've heard from other composers that the lyric part is really hard.
Yeah. It's definitely something I struggle with sometimes. Like I did a lot of songwriting when I was in college, but I never was a big fan of the lyrical part of it. So having Greg to collaborate with for the lyrics for the end song, I think was really, really good to get over that hurdle.
Yeah, for sure. There's been so much love for this game. And I was looking at the reviews on Steam, and one of them said, playing this game made me a better person. And you don't hear that very often with people saying that about games. And so I would love to know, you know, what working on this game has meant to you.
It's definitely been that kind of comforting experience of not feeling, I've never felt very like intimidated to work on this game. it's something that I've always kind of like, whenever I got a chance to work on it over the several years that we were collaborating on it, like I was so excited like to dive into each new area because it was a new opportunity to kind of stretch creatively and to find something new to work with, because Greg was always so receptive and kind of egging me on to write a whole bunch of different variety of things. You know, for example, like there was the town of Elevensies, which is, you know, a silly reference to, you know, the 11th course meal or whatever.
Yeah, that extra breakfast they have.
Yeah. but, you know, since all of our towns are named after meals of the day, essentially, we were, you know, okay, as a concept, what would Elevensies be? And I was like, well, what if I just write something in 11, like as a meter? And so Greg was like, yeah, no, do it. And, you know, all these various things of like, I would write something and Greg would kind of comment being like, what if you added like a really cool beat to that? And I was like, yeah, totally. And so like for another one of my favorite tracks was Grub Deeps, which was this kind of like, it starts off and, you know, the first half of it is kind of just this almost like pizzicato fugue kind of thing of just really kind of interesting, weird counterpoint stuff. And then when we were kind of playing with putting it in the game, I was like, oh, this section of the game is really long. Like people are going to be hearing this pizzicato theme for a very long time. And so that was one of those moments of like, why don't we just add a beat to it? So I went back in and took this like, you know, kind of classically written piece. And then I was like, okay, well, let's put this kind of, you know, trip hop kind of hip hop beat to it and just like start messing with putting some sampled drums in there, some sequence drums, some like a piano bass line, those kind of stuff to kind of really just like take this weird meter pizzicato piece and then turn it into this something else entirely through the added layers. And it's so much fun to just have the freedom to kind of just play with those ideas and come up with weird music. And I love weird music.
Thank you.
that joy and that freedom that you had to experiment with stuff, just it really comes through in the music. And it's just start to finish, the soundtrack is just so wonderful to listen to. And then in the game, it's just such a phenomenal fit. So it's just been so much fun to talk with you about it, Lena. And congratulations. I mean, it's just, it's amazing.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk again soon about whatever you've got going on.
Yeah, I've always new projects, so always love to chat about them. Thank you.